if it means that you will bypass every protocol, the walls here, do it for my sake. If you would do that just the same way you did for your apostles, that you, when you were coming back, just because you wanted them to still have you, they locked up the doors, but still, you bypassed the protocols and you still came in, utilizing the walls, break my walls, Lord, and teach me. If I have built my own walls and I have built my gates that I do not want you to come in, because of the sake that I'm here, bypass, O Lord. Father, we ask that you bypass the protocol of things that have been set in spirit family. Amen. If we have built standards and raised things that have not allowed you to find expression, Lord, we ask that you will break through those gates, break through those walls, and teach us today. That today we will be transformed to becoming exactly that image that you have assigned for us to be. We would see you just the way you are, and we'll be perfected just the way you want us to be. We care less what we have been, but we care more what you are going to make us to become. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because your word is powerful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because your presence has the aura to deliver, to transform, to heal, and to mend broken hearts. Lord, I know that there are people who came in here with different things. I know that several people came into this place with a particular need and with a particular burden, and whatever they came in here, Lord Jesus, we ask that you will bypass protocol. It doesn't matter what they're experiencing, bypass this protocol and meet them at the point of their needs. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. And so today we'll be considering, in just some few minutes, we'll be considering faith. I'm seeing some faces. I'm excited seeing Philip around. Thank you for coming. I'm seeing Tatian today. I'm seeing Noro. I'm blessed. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you all for coming. If you came in here and you're excited, just turn and say thank you for coming to the next person beside you. I was having a discussion some days back, and then one of the things I said was, do you know how brainy I am? I was telling somebody, and I said, do you know how brainy I am? Look at all these things. I have been able to achieve this. I've been able to achieve this. Then while I was talking, and I mentioned all the things that I was able to achieve, and then I was done saying them. Then the person asked me, said, what about those people who you did? I said, what did they do? As the brain is this. And then one of the things, as I was saying it, then the Holy Ghost just reminded me. He reminded me of the day that they were not around. And I had to also produce the same ideas I thought I could produce on my own. And when he reminded me, I looked back and I checked it. And I discovered that there was a frustrated day in my life. That was one of the most frustrated days of the ideas I've ever produced. And there was no idea possible just because they were not there. And somehow, if you guys are not here, there's no word as powerful I can produce if the people who are here are not here. The Holy Ghost will never give word for nothing. He will give word for seven people. So when you were coming here, the Holy Ghost was tailoring something for you. He had a plan that you were going to be here. He knew that you were going to be here. So he would not give enough messages, because he would not give diverse messages. He would give just one word, because he knows how he has tailored it and how he has brought you from wherever he has brought you. I want you to just believe that God gave a word because of you. Amen. And the reason why he gave that word is because you were coming. Amen. Amen. I'm blessed to have you around. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Today we'll be considering faith. I call it the God kind of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. The God kind of faith. You have your pen and your paper. We'll do some small writing, because we don't have much time, so, and I'm not teaching for long. Amen.
Hebrews 11, if you're there, from verse 1. I read. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God. Then verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must come believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, rains that were never, that had never fallen, flood that had never been, he said, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, by verse 8, he said, by faith Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise and in a foreign country, dwelling in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sun which is by the seashore. Father, bless the reading of your word, and let it bring understanding and light unto your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now we're going to consider faith. Scripture said, faith is the substance. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. While I was considering this topic, the God kind of faith, I had to just sit down to ask God what faith is. Because I had to ask, actually, what is this thing about faith? Now, look at it. In the spiritual realm, one of the things that must happen before anything will happen is that nothing must happen in the spiritual realm. If a physical thing occurred, it's a reflection of a spiritual thing that had happened. So now look at faith now. Well, scripture said faith is the substance of the things hoped. The substance. And scripture, and Paul was talking about hope. He said, if we hope and we have seen that hope, Satan is not hope, right?
Yeah.
Meaning that if I'm hoping to see Minister Chooks, and Minister Chooks is here, then I'm not hoping. I can't be hoping to see you. Neither am I hoping to see this new brother. Look this up. I can't hope to see what is already there. Whatever I must hope for is what is not available. So scripture said now, faith is the substance of things we hoped for. So it is the substance of what is not available. It is the tangible, something you can touch, of what you do not have.
is what you can hold on to. What it's that thing you're holding on to, but it's not there. Wow. When I looked at it and I was asking, I said, how would you have substance of something that you are still hoping for? How would you have that thing and yet you do not have it? That's faith. The substance of things hoped for. Now look at it in the spiritual realm, see what happens. If today we say, I believe God, right? Mm-hmm. And then I now come to bring it before everybody and say, I believe that God is existing. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, then somebody will ask you, how do you know that God is existing? Or how do you believe? How do you know that God is existing, that you believe? Right? Mm-hmm. Because if I say God is existing, that means there's something that has said it, right? So how do I know that God is existing? A lot of questions that we ask, if God is actually existing, how will I actually know that God is existing? Scripture now said, faith is the substance. Permit me to say that the word of God declared God existing, declared God living, but the word of God has not made God living yet. The word of God has just presented a case of God existing and living. But faith between the word of God and God himself, there's one thing to do. The substance that is existing. Now, permit me to look. Follow me carefully. If I say today that I believe the existence of God, that means God is in heaven, right? And I believe that he's existing. How do I know that God is existing? Faith says that the realization of God's existence is that I meet with the substance of God. Mm. Are we here?
Yes.
So, faith is, first of all, a spiritual thing. Write it down. Faith is, first of all, a spiritual phenomenon. It's a spiritual reality, a spiritual tangibility. So, if I look at this and I say, God, I need a phone. I'm needing a phone right now. Faith says that I had rubbed my hands on the phone, used the phone, called with the phone, enjoyed the phone, but I do not have it. We established, first of all, that anything that happens in the physical, first of all, happens in the spiritual. Faith is that experience that you had of that thing that you have expected, but yet you have not actually physically experienced it. But in the spiritual realm, it was a real encounter you had with the personality of what you were believing. So I believe God existing. Then faith says this, that if I believe, if truly I have faith in God, it means that I have met with the tangibility of God, the personality of God, he had rubbed himself on me, and I have touched him. A tangible touch of him. That's what faith is. So first of all, if anything will happen now, it means that what I'm declaring is that I have met God. But has my physical eyes seen him? No. Mm-hmm. But my spiritual mind, first, we know that man is made up of the spirit. Man is spirit. He has a soul and he's living in a body, right?
Yes,
now look at this. That my spirit man, of whom I did not even realize, he had a meeting with God, had a dining with God, but because my physical body had not cannot do it, my physical body cannot understand it. Mm. So immediately when faith begins to work in a person's life, is that the spirit man of that person goes over to have an experience of something that is spiritual. So if I say I believe God for a phone, then the first thing that must happen is that my spirit man must use a phone of that same caliber that I'm talking about. That is faith. My spirit man having a tangible expression or a tangible use of that spiritual expectations that I have. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Meaning, I have touched it. We have different expectations. We have things that we have looked at and promises God gave. Now, God said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. It is a promise in the world. But it will never have an effect on anybody's life except that person enters into the reality where God has never left him and has never forsaken him. Now, that's the beginning of faith. Jesus looked at Lazarus, at the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, I thank you, Lord, for you always here. It was the expression of a reality, not of now, but a reality. He said, I thank you for you always. Always doesn't mean that you have been hearing me. You always hear me, meaning that I had an event that Lazarus was lying in this tomb, and while I was here, I raised up my hands and I gave thanks to you, and you brought Lazarus alive. That was a spiritual encounter. So I would make that testimony of a spiritual encounter of the promise that you can bring people back to life. I have not experienced it physically. Lazarus is still there. This is the testimony of men concerning Lazarus. But my testimony of Lazarus is that I have met Lazarus and I pulled him out of the grave. Amen. Amen. Look at how demons work with people. That a man is sick. We call the sickness HIV, right? But then we discover that behind it, or Jesus will be looking at a man who is epileptic. We know that this thing is epilepsy. This is the name we have tagged it. It's a sickness. It's not, there's nothing spiritual about epilepsy. Because we are seeing a physical manifestation of it. But Jesus will look at that same man who has epilepsy and he will say, out of him, a spiritual thing is calling out. So what was Jesus actually doing? Jesus was manifesting a spiritual reality that his spirit man had already given a warning and a sign to those things out. Jesus will meet a madman and we understand that it is a psychological problem. This is what is wrong with him. He had been, something happened, he knocked off his head, and so probably he went mad. So this is what is his problem. His problem is that he's now psychologically imbalanced. That's his problem. But Jesus will just come, and Jesus had not said a thing, but they would come and give the testimony and say, have you come to destroy us again? How do they know about his destructive power? Because they have realized an experience of him. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Everything that happens in the physical is a manifestation of the spiritual. So it is first of all that Jesus, they met the dimension of a deliverer in him. So it just did not occur. If today, we call today, today, and we call tomorrow, tomorrow, how does God call tomorrow?
Mm.
Please, Rabbi, we call today today, right? We call tomorrow tomorrow. How does God call tomorrow? Could it be that today is God's tomorrow? And could it be that today, tomorrow is God's today? And could it be that 10,000 years after today was a reality that God sat down in and had a field day with that day, but yet we are in today? Could it be that Jesus came and dined with you tomorrow, yesterday? But then you still are awaiting the manifestation because your tomorrow has not yet come. But yesterday was when the dining had been done. Could this is the same testimony that we ask. How could it be that he who had sinned before now, before the time Jesus came, how was he delivered? Because his today was Jesus' far yesterday. And so scripture said, before the foundations of the earth, he had already been crucified. He had been laid. He said he was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. So he had done it before then. But the manifestation took close to 4,000 calendar years, if we had put them together, or 4,000 theological years before it manifested that he died. So we wonder what happened. That there was a reality of Jesus dying, and there's a tangible one that you can see and testify. Now, what am I saying? That whatever you desire today and you want to have that is yet not into, you have not yet entered in tomorrow, has been given.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He said, all that pertinent to and what?
Goodness.
So if I'm sitting right today in today's reality and then I'm still suffering for something that has already been done, it means that I have not entered. My spirit man refused to go and enjoy, or my body has refused to go and enjoy what my spirit man had already experienced. Are we here? And we're going somewhere. So yesterday, God did it. We talked about it, that scripture said, by his stripes, we were what? We were here. So, but then, are we sick today? Do we have people who are sick? Is it possible that somebody is still suffering from cancer? But scripture said, by his stripes, we were healed. Could it be that God is lying? God forbid that God will lie about it. But the reality was that your spirit man had an experience of health, but your body has no experience of it. So faith, first of all, we said faith is spiritual. Then the next thing that scripture said, he said in verse the same, he said, faith is the substance. The spiritual have experience that God had healed me. I had experienced it, is life, it is active. I am healed. Then now he now said, the evidence of things not seen. Now these are two things we're talking about. Substance of a spiritual reality. The evidence, a logical explanation, a logical certificate, something tangible that have been able to be, that have been dialogued. If today I say something happened here and then they shot somebody and we got the gun and the fingerprints and the camera all that was here was shining and we saw the person and everything matched and we discovered this was the person who did it. Now, what do we call all those facts that we have gathered? Evidence. Right? So now, but you know, evidence is evidence. If it's not evidence until it has been presented. Are we? Until it has been presented in a court case, in a court law, or in a courtroom, and then the judge will say, okay, bring the evidence. You are accusing, you have claimed that this guy killed that guy. Where is your evidence that this guy actually claimed it? This guy actually killed him. You have declared him a killer. Where is your evidence if you do not have evidence out of my court? Is it true that the person is dead? True. Is it true that the person is the killer? True. But is it true that he has been convicted? No. Why? Because your evidence was not there. So there was no proof that this person killed that person. So he's justified. Now, this is the same question the enemy does. This is what the enemy does to a man. That every time we have experienced the spiritual reality of hell, but the enemy comes over with the questioning of you who have declared yourself healed. What is the evidence that you have been healed? I define faith. Let's
write this before I continue, so that I don't take up time. I need us to be faster than this. This definition of faith, I believe it would go a long way in our lives. I said, faith is the evidence or the spiritual proof of my claims. Or we can put it, faith is the evidence or the solid proof. That's the second part. First, we said faith is the substance, right? Second, we're now saying that faith is the evidence of my solid proof, of the solid proof of my claims in Christ Jesus. Did we get it? Should I say it again? Now, first, we said faith is the substance, right, of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of a spiritual encounter, the substance of a spiritual experience, right? Now, we're now saying that faith is now the evidence of the solid proof. Faith is the evidence or the solid proof of my claims in Christ Jesus. Now, see this. My mind is the most difficult aspect. It is the link between my spirit and my body. So it is the most difficult aspect to convince of anything. So my body had experienced healing in Christ Jesus, but my mind has not yet accepted healing in Christ Jesus. Because why? My mind is saying there is need for a logical explanation that Jesus had taken away this thing. So in your solid realm is where the enemy has his field day. The enemy will bring the questions because your solid realm works with logic. So the enemy will bring logical questions. What proof do you have? Before it's a gate to a gate. Are we here? Like I'm walking from a spiritual atmosphere or a spiritual arena and I'm walking down. I'm about to give a message to a bodily atmosphere or an arena, the body, right? But then I have the message here. It is settled that this message, let's say my leg was not there, right? In the physical, because I had an accident and they cut off my leg, right? Of which in the spiritual, I'm complete because immediately that happened in the spiritual, everything came back. Right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm walking into the reality. I'm supposed to just walk into this reality and I have a leg. But I lack a leg because I have a gate to cross. And so I come before this gate and the gate will ask me. He said, what is the logical proof, the evidence that actually this thing that you have saying that you have a leg is real? Because if you must cross this gate, you have to give a logical proof that this leg is existing and it had already been given for this. So it's like saying I purchased the leg in a spiritual place. But then at the gate here, they are called gatekeepers. They are here to ask, please, excuse me, you brought this leg. It's illegal to pass here. Where is the receipt that you bought this leg? What is there saying that truly this leg has been given unto you? The police within this area are always there asking. They are the gatekeepers. At Shahar, at every gate, they stand there to say, you is spiritual, soulish, physical. So we want you to give us a proof that actually God gave you this thing. So what receipt do you have? An evidence to prove the substance you have received. Are we here? We said faith is first of all a spiritual event. Meaning that first of all, the day I gave my life to Christ, I was saved. Completely delivered from the hands of the enemy. But then I have to walk back into the person of Jesus right here on earth and become that person Jesus wants me to be on earth. I'm perfected in holiness, perfected in righteousness, but yet this person has not yet been experienced righteousness or holiness because he has not crossed yet the gate of logic. Are we here?
Yeah.
I will follow you.
Yes,
so, you have not reached there. Do you know why you have not received the promises of God? It is written in scripture. It means that it was a spiritual reality that had already happened.
Yeah.
I said to you that you have been delivered. Israel, go over. I have been given unto you. Just go, it's your own. But then I is still there. We entered I and destruction took place because there was a receipt missing. There was an illogical thing that was presented before the gods of the earth. And so they are still asking, we do not know this reality. You have expected God, you told God, God, I need this. And God promised you, he said, in the year 2019, this thing will be given unto you. The year 2019 has come, but then you have waited for so long again in the year 2019, God forbid, let me use 2018. You had waited in the year 2018 because it had been promised in 2018. You are now in 2019 and what had been promised for 2018 had not yet come.
Mm.
Because you have not answered some questions.
Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Your theological sphere is still asking you, what is the proof that God had said it and God had given you?
Not God had said it. God had said it, it had been done.
As long as he said his word doesn't fall to the ground. So as he has said it, it has been done. But what is the proof that it has been done? Are we here? So you see, the process begins. This is where the process begins. This is where the breaking begins. This is where a lot of things begin in your life. And it's the journey of faith. Are we here? That is the place where you begin to experience pain. God, you are unfair. God, you are this. God, you are that. God. Because the God of the air, within these logical gates, they would ask you questions. Please, what's the proof? Oh God. Sometimes, because we cannot answer these questions, then we receive the whips on our bodies, and we receive the pain and the scars on our bodies, so that by the time we are going back to come and declare our claims, Paul will say of it that I have been crucified with Christ. And he will declare of it. He said, you cannot touch me. For because I have now my proofs that I bear on my body the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith in its work, somehow, because you need to answer it, you have to go through it. You cannot answer what you have not gone through. So you experience the persecution, you experience the pain, you experience the disappointment, and all of that will be bearing marks on your body. So that the day when you come to that gate, you will tell the gate, I check my back. It's a testimony. This is an evidence that I was crucified with him. This is my proof. Excuse me. I don't know who you are, but you don't know what I've gone through. If you know what I've gone through, you will not be on this gate. Get out from here. I had experienced it. A boy who has been given something but doesn't know how what he has been given, somebody can easily come and take it away from him. Do you know?
Yes, sir.
But a boy who had experienced the development of those things and has put in so much energy, when you come to touch such a boy, you will know. Are we here?
Yes.
So I know some of you are asking, I have believed God, I have waited on God, I have asked God, do this for me, it has not worked. Permit me to say, it's one of the stripes. God just put one mark on your body. And it was the replication of the mark of Jesus. And he's just trying to tell you that the present trouble, the present pain, are not what compared to where I'm going to. Because I must manifest. So anyhow, I go through it. It has shown forth. When I come to answer whoever is asking, I have a proof to tell you. I have an evidence to show you that I deserve this. Do you know that fasting actually did not just make you powerful? That was not what fasting did to you. See what fasting did to you. Fasting made you realize that, oh boy, I had not eaten.
Why? Because I believe God. Am I that stupid to believe God and not be eating? I have been starving for this long. And you are standing right here and you are called a demon. Excuse me? It just made you realize how much you had believed a particular spiritual reality. Are we here? Meaning that I have come to believe what God has said, that if I fast and pray. So I had sat down to starve myself with food. My body has started realizing that, oh boy, pain is going here. Hunger is coming here. Why are all these things? Because I need more of God. Excuse me. And you are still standing before me. I had experienced too much things. There was too much stress. It was definitely high level of foolishness or madness that made me not to eat. So you better get out from there because I have become madder. Mm-hmm. The demon is responding to the confidence you have built because of your stupidity that you have believed. Are we here?
Yes.
So what fasting was doing was helping your mind realize that there was pain, and your mind was getting to understand that this pain was for a spiritual cause. And so after a while, your mind gives up with the argument that spiritual things exist, but your mind begins to experience that you have subjected this body too much. So demons begin to realize that spiritual things are real. So when you look at that demon and say, the demon runs out, not because you have fasted, but because the fasting has made your mind realize how real that spiritual experience was. Are we here?
Yes.
So sometimes I experienced this delay, I experienced that delay. It took me to the point every day because of this delay, I've not been able to sleep. I went back, oh God, there are things that have happened to certain people. No wonder, check most of the healing evangelists, how they became healer, how they became powerful in those areas. They were healed of certain illnesses that were incurable. Most of them had the experience. Kenneth E. Hagin had an experience of illness for years, 16 years he had been bedridden. And he had stayed there for long. Leukemia had almost killed him. And he had gone through the experience. And every day he was believing God. And such a day, he came to that reality that this pain, guy, had gone through it. And so when he looks at another leukemia person, he weighs all the experience of those times. And comes to the point where God had done it. And he declares, excuse me, I have come to the logical understanding that this thing called incurable is curable because I sat down day and night. I prayed out my life. I have come to the point that every day God started becoming real to me. Apostle Selman said there were times he had hair, his hair was not there because ringworms used to come out. My elder brother, while they were in school, said that time people had to be shifting away from him. When he said, I have experienced what it means not to have favor. I know what it means to experience lack of favor. He said it took him more days jumping back to one mountain to go up, jumping one to one bush, hide there, pray. It was more pain. While the pain was coming, he was pushing in for his spiritual reality. And when it became possible, when his mind began to realize that I'm giving up because a spiritual thing is real, then the mind will come. Then he will come to declare and say, there is no place in this country that men of God do not like me. He said, there's no place I can enter in this country that nobody likes, that people don't like me.
He said, but I have experienced rejection before.
Yeah.
Bishop David Oedipo will tell you offering, the gathered offering was 5 naira. He said, I know what it means. I have experienced it until the point where the thing became too painful, and I believe God, yet in that pain, that I realized that there is a scripture that said I can never be poor. And he said, I'm rich. I can never be poor. And he declared it till he became it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going through? Is the process of your evidence. It gives you confidence to declare before the gates, I have gone through it. Have you prayed for the sick before and they have not been healed? Have you prophesied over and over? Let me tell you, one of the gates to knock, if you desire any spiritual gift to be functional, you will try the first time, it will not work. You will try the second time, it will not work. You will try probably the third time, it will not work. Because they are all giving you, building your mind to realize that you have to become stupid before it can work. Try something 10 times, please. The same thing. I fasted, prayed for the dead. They did not wake up, but they seen nothing happened. I went back again, added 2 more days, came back, nothing happened. Added 5 more days, came back, nothing happened. The gates are asking this question. How logical are you? Are you still logical? You went 5 times, your mind has started becoming mad. Permit me to tell you, if you do that same thing 5 times, you have become nuts. And everybody in your area will must think that you are becoming nuts. And it's because they have gotten to that point, that's the reality that you have given them good evidence that this thing is real. If I say the same thing over and over, it means I really believe it. They said that if you did it the first time, it's a mistake, right? You did it the second time, something happened. You did it the third time, God, no, this person is, he meant whatever he was trying to do. He was not joking. If you are inside a house, you carried knife and you wanted to stab somebody, they caught you the first day. The second time you did it again, they caught you. The third time you did it, who would believe you that you were not trying to kill the person when the person is dead? Until that reality of what you are expecting God has made you illogical completely, that is your second evidence. First of all, your first evidence is your pain, right? Your second evidence is your persistence to it. The woman came and told Jesus, she came and Jesus was talking about the woman. He said, she came the first time to the judge, came, disturbed him, came another time, came again, disturbed him, came, Kai. The judge said, Kai, no. I do not fear man, neither do I fear God. That's not a man talking. That's a gate talking. I fear neither God nor man. So it means that I'm on my own. I'm too independent. That's the mind of a human being. It's gate. The mind wants to be independent of God, independent of spiritual things, independent of physical things. Independent. That's what the mind is trying to do. The mind feels I don't need the spirit, neither do I need the body. I fear neither God nor man. He said, but because you have wearied me to, if I leave you, you will weary me. Those gates are waiting for you to weary them. You gave them the testimony that first of all, I have marks. They are not agreed. Second thing, you have to show them that you are persistent. That's when they will believe that your report is real. You're not a joker about it.
How many things have you tried over and over? Jesus asked that woman. Jesus talked about that woman.
He said, the judge, unjust judge, as the logical mind. He said, I fear neither God nor man. But if I allow this woman, she will bury me. Demons have asked you, have come to your logical sense. Are you sure you are born again? Can't you see? Can't you see? Is it not enough proof that you are not born again? Last year, this was what your life was about. This year, you even entered this year, you tried, you stayed some days back, but you still went back. Are you sure you're born again?
After a while, you now start hearing people say, hey,
if you sleep with a woman, you will go to hell. If you lie small lie, you will go to hell. And then, anyhow, I can stay on my side. It's because those kids have said whatever they have said to me. Can you pick up consistency within the part of God and declare, I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. I'm not the same man. See, forget it. I had that fall, but I know where I'm going to. I cannot go back there again. I know where God is taking me to. I would not fall again. I have realized my wrong. I know where God wants me to be. I'm born again. I'm set free. I cannot be a liar any longer. I can't be a fornicator any longer. I can't be a smoker any longer. See, it happened. Forget it. It's not any right for you. Because the logical mind will always want to bring them back. I cannot be left here. This is not where I belong. The logical mind is still saying, you have been declaring that you are wealthy. You have behaved like you are wealthy. Where has it kept you? You are still poor. You are still sick. You have declared that you are healed over and over, but you are still sick. Are you not the one lying down there? You have to wake up insistently and tell the enemy whatever lie he's saying. You are a liar and the truth is not in you. There's no truth about you. And I realize who I am in Christ Jesus. He has healed me. It's my evidence. My evidence is that I will keep on declaring it until it comes to be. Begin to lift up your voices. I don't know what you have said. I don't know what it has been, but it had been a process to put a mark on your life. It had been a process to make you continue. Somehow, the reason why you are thinking of giving up is because the door of that gate is about to open. The gates don't want to open, so they are still there trying to make sure that you don't open those gates. I begin to break forth. I begin to burst forth. This is the reality God has kept for me. God told me that we are going to be 10,000. I declared it the first time. I looked like a stupid man. I declared over and over. I must look too stupid. Men must look at me that I don't have sense. Until that thing that God had promised me come to be. It looks impossible. That's why it is God. If it was possible, it was my mind. And if it was possible, it was still my mind talking. But that's why it is God. That's why it is God. Scripture said, with God, all things are possible. He said, nothing is impossible. Ah, Shatara Shoba. Jekopa lakatuko patuko patu. Ebrados karada. Rakopa lakato shakupa. Ida rasupa ebradoska. Rada the door to economy, to the sphere of the economy, the door must break forth. I tried it the first time, I failed. I cannot stay here. This is not my staying place. This is not my failing place.
This is not my dwelling place. Even the gods of the earth, see, permit me to tell you that if you break forth, if you continue, it must break forth. I'm tired. Your parents have been sick for years. Your body has been sick for years. Your poverty has been increasing day after day in your house. You cannot explain what it is. But excuse me, are you not tired? I'm tired and I believe God. I decide to choose what God has said. It is stupid to men, but I believe it. I'm not just going to show them that I have suffered alone. If I have suffered, I will show them. I have suffered for the sake of Christ. I have been crucified for the sake of Christ. I have been beaten for the sake of Christ. Listen, the disciples, when they were beaten, they came out rejoicing. Scripture said they came out rejoicing. Acts 19, I believe he said they came out rejoicing, saying that they counted worthy being beaten for the sake of Christ. They knew what it was. Every time they were beaten for it, it brought them more power, more doors were opened for them. More people came into the church because of what beating that they received. So they counted it all joy because they knew the reward of the suffering. Can you utilize it and count it all joy? And tell God, I have gone through these things, not for nothing's sake. I have gone through death. I've seen death sweep away people I love. It's not for no reason. It's for a reason. It's for the thousands that you are about to bring forth. It's for the many things that you are about to bring my way. It's for the many things you are about to do in my life. I have gone through poverty, not because of anything, but it's because of the much that you are about to bring in my life. And now I can confidently say that it is God that giveth riches. You must manifest, you must break those gates. If you must come out, you must break those gates. Scripture said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of Hades cannot prevail against it. Listen, if you can put your name, scripture said, I have built Jeremiah man, and the gates of hell cannot do anything against him.
In the name of Jesus, she prayed to
they cannot stand against him. I've seen men come from abroad. I see nations trooping in. I wonder how it's done. I wonder how the finances are run. But money comes for it. I do not struggle about it. I have seen it. It's a reality. I have lived in it. 2,000 years ago, God planned it. I have the experience of it. Excuse me. In Jesus' mighty name. See, even the people of the world understand the second mystery I showed you. They talk about Einstein that produced something. No inventor, Thomas Edison. No inventor, quote me anywhere, no inventor had invented a thing without an encounter. Thomas Edison knocked at the gate of that reality, knocked at it. Some people say 99 times, some people say 999 times. Whatever the number is, all the statement was that he has knocked over those gates over and over, declaring that I'm not giving up. It's not time to give up. This thing is a possibility. He may be talking about it and saying, yes, I tried it and I failed, I tried it and I found many ways. It wasn't about it. He was knocking to tell that spiritual reality. I know God showed me that there was us or whatever, those demons or whoever showed him, whatever he saw. They showed me, I saw the experience that there was a bulb, and this was how it came about. I saw it live. It happened. You cannot tell me it cannot happen. I will do it until I see it happen. It was said that Steve Jobs, every time he goes, after meditation for a while, he will come out. He came out and he said, see, I want you to build the system like this. Do it this way. I've seen it this way, and I see it work this way. And some people said they cannot do it. He said, sack them. Come out from my company. You're not supposed to be here. Because I saw it. I had a spiritual encounter that this thing had happened. So you cannot tell me that's not happening. He was not a Christian, but he understood that mystery. That anything that must come out to the physical must go through the gates of the soul. Bishop David Oyedepo will tell anybody, he said to his secretary, don't ever come and tell me that there's no money. Said, but there's no, he said, don't ever. If you tell the day you say it, you are sad. They came to pay school fees. There was no money. They were waiting for the money. They were paying to pay workers. There was no money. The workers were waiting. There was no money. How will we do it? There's no money. Okay, pay them by 2 o'clock. That's what he told the secretary. The secretary was, yes, sir. Because he told me he will sack me. As they were waiting, before 2 o'clock, somebody came in with the money completely for the payment. And chains remained. Men who have believed in what God had shown them, and they refuse to believe what logic is saying. So they will knock out whatever wants to say that this thing is not going to be a possibility. Some people have called what you have said when you started. Because you started small doesn't mean it will not grow. This is what God wants. He wants to first of all put a mark on you. Yeah. Secondly, he wants to see how much you will keep on insisting on God. God looked at Job, removed everything, and asked him, are you still willing to stay with me? Job was still willing. After his wife came, the logical, another gate, his wife came and told him, excuse me, you need to curse God and die. See, the first, no man doesn't listen to his wife. The last place that you want to hear that encouraging word is from your wife. Because as far as she was concerned, she was encouraging him so that he would reduce his pain. And the wife came and told him, he said, just curse God and die. Job said, guy, I don't know. I still have my argument with God, but still I believe you. He now said, don't you slay me. Yeah. Yet will I serve thee. Yeah. And Job lastly will come and make that statement. And he will say, they told me about you. I heard about you. But now I see you. I feel you. Oh God. They told me about the reality of God. Now I see it in the physical. I feel it in the physical. It's not a storyteller. Just declare it. He just wanted to say, Lord, I go through it that I may see.
that I may see, that I may become what you have called me to become. Just pray, 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 pray. I go through it. Scripture said, go through the gates. Go through them. They are for experiences. They are for markings. They rank generals. That's how we rank generals. By how much they have gone through. I went through it. I passed the test. Temptations came. I overcame it one night added. I fought a good fight of faith. I don't know if you're here. And you have never given your life to Jesus. You have doubted your salvation. Just come today, then we reaffirm it. That it will no longer be the same. Just come before the altar. I'll pray with you. You're here. You've doubted how born again you are. You don't feel it. You don't, it has, your logical senses have denied you those rights. Can you just come up? I'll pray with you. I'm giving you just a minute. Please, let's not waste time, because it's not time to waste time. If you're here, you're not giving your life to Jesus, just come on. Jesus needs you. You're doubting these things. Because you have gone too far. You feel like you have gone too far. I extended the things that I used to do. I just need a reaffirmation. Come, let me pray with you. Father, we lift up your children into your heart. And we ask for grace to prosper.
Amen.
We ask for grace to go through those gates.
Amen.
We ask that our